Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode number 3. We're going to give you our Desert Island albums today. So hopefully you'll enjoy the show. So a little stuff from last week. Got a couple things to carry over. So one music news thing. I watched a really cool documentary yesterday. It's called Slash, Raised on Sunset Strip. If you haven't seen it, you can get it on, I think you can watch it on YouTube. Try to download it. Really cool. It's got some great people in it. It's got Lemmy's in it, Dave Grohl, Duff McKagan, Steven Adler, Nikki Sixx, just talking about Slash, and then his new stuff with
Miles Kennedy.
Yeah, Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. So really cool thing. I mean, it was like an hour long. It's pretty neat. It also had Matt Sorum in there, but I think we've determined that, you know, he's just whatever. Nobody gives a crap. So I kind of turned that off. But from last week, one of the things I wanted to ask that I meant to ask and I didn't get to ask anybody was just real quick, who is somebody that you have not seen or can't see that you really wish you could have seen?
That's a good question.
I never saw Metallica. I never saw Ozzy. Never saw Van Halen in any incarnation. That's all I got for now.
If I could go back, and I actually wanted a friend of mine who was a real good bass player there in Tell City, saw the show in Louisville, but I would like to see, I've seen Ozzy twice, but I didn't get to see him with Randy Rhoads. And that's one thing I would have liked to see Randy live. I mean, that was one of the guitar players when I was a kid that I looked up to. And I would like to have seen him play live. That would be mine.
I think the only group I didn't get to see that I really, really wish I would have seen was Queen. It's just awesome, an awesome band. Their albums were awesome, and they didn't come to the States very much. So, and they sure as hell didn't come to Evansville because they were playing huge places. But you know, that's a band that I never got to see, and I wouldn't go see them now. I mean, I have no desire to see them play with Paul Rogers or Adam Lambert or any of that stuff. I want to see Freddie Mercury, and that's not going to happen. But that's a band that I never got to see that I really, really wish I would have got to see. But okay, so that was
AC/DC is another one for me.
Yeah, you know, that's a band I haven't seen yet, but they still tour, so there's a chance. I was going to take actually Noah to Chicago to see him back in September, and it worked out on a school night, and I really didn't think him getting to see AC/DC at Wrigley Field was really worth missing school for, so that wasn't going to work. But yeah.
Hey, and I got one more question too, and this came up on our drive to brunch on Sunday. My beautiful wife and I were listening to the show. She hadn't listened to the show yet, so we were listening to it on iTunes. Check that out, please, if you want to, and leave us a comment. But anyway, she was going, you should have asked Alan this. And I'm like, well, that's a pretty good question. Now, Alan, you've seen bands in Germany when you were over there stationed in Germany, right?
Yep, correct.
What were the concerts like in Germany compared to America? Were they any different? I mean, as far as crowd response or how it happened, she was curious of of that aspect. And I was like, that's a pretty good question. I mean, if you're, I know in Japan they got a weird way of doing. They used to not like do anything through the song. They wouldn't do anything till the end, and they would freak out. Germany, anything different on that?
Well, for the most part, the crowds are still the same. One thing that did stand out for me is, when I went and saw Alice Cooper, they had Great White and Brittany Fox, and we got there just in time to hear Brittany Fox hit the last chord and leave the stage. So I guess there's another band I'd like to see that I didn't get to see. We were down on the floor. It was general admission. We were down on the floor, and a it's just this great surge of the crowd, and somebody stepped on my foot, and I started to go down. And the guy that was with me grabbed me and pulled me up and basically, you know, dragged me out of that crowd. You know, and that was the last time I got into a crowd at a big concert like that. So, I mean, the energy was really raw, I guess.
So, is there like a moshing type pit kind of deal?
I wouldn't call it a mosh. It was like a wave. You know, it's gotcha. Like everybody pushed forward, and then it kind of right. flowed back, you know.
I've been in that city. Well, Van Halen was like that in 84. It was the same deal. We were really close to the fence, and it was like people, you could just feel people pushing. I mean, it wasn't just like one person pushing behind you. It was a mass of people pushing, you know, at that point. There were people, it was so hot that night, and people were passing out. We were, you know, throwing them over the, you know, doing the crowd surfing or the body surfing as I couldn't remember last
time. As you finally figured out last week.
Got it.
You know, that's something I miss about shows, because I mean, I like the fact that they don't have festival seating anymore, because you don't have that problem with people getting hurt. But I miss the festival seating, because you can't get as close as you used to be able to get to the artists and stuff like that. I mean, the one time I saw Kiss, probably the second time, maybe, or third, we were so close, the barricade had fallen down, and I was leaning right on the stage. I mean, the monitor, my arm was touching the monitor, and it just, you can't do that anymore. They've got seats and stuff like that. You just don't get that opportunity anymore. But
see, and what I hate too about concerts nowadays is you can't pick your seat like you used to do at Ticketmaster. You used to be able to go in and say, okay, I want this seat this week. My sweet seat is center stage behind the console, the first or second row up there. I don't want to get that close. I want to be able, but I don't want to have to stand up all night either. I can sit there and watch the whole damn thing. So, you know, it used to be you could actually pick your seat. You go to Ticketmaster over there at Winebox and say, okay, I want seat, you know, this section, and I want seat one and two of here and here. You can't do that no more, you know. So I missed that part of it.
Yeah.
All right. So, Alan, you got off pretty easy. I thought you were worried about that question. I mentioned it earlier this week. But, no, I was just – she was more curious about the crowd or just a concert situation in a different country like that, if it was different than here, or if it, you know, if it was any kind of difference, you know, whatsoever.
Not really.
It's just a rock show.
Yeah. the only difference is Alice Cooper flew the German flag instead of the American flag. That's not necessarily a crowd thing,
right? Is there a big from a show perspective? Did Alice Cooper say anything in German?
No, Alice Cooper doesn't talk on stage.
I guess you're right. I guess the times I've seen him, he doesn't really.
Oh, talk. I'm sure Gene would. Gene would.
I mean, he can talk a lot. I mean, he knows a lot of different languages. So he's schmoozing. He's schmoozing, man. All right.
I love it. Anyway.
Okay, so this week's episode, get back to that, episode number 3 is about our 5 desert albums. So what we're going to do first is we're going to talk about our first 3 albums that we would take. And then the last 2 albums, one is a live album that we've chosen, and then one is a greatest hits. So we did have some rules. We couldn't all pick compilation albums so that we all got everything. And, you know, Dennis doesn't like it very much, but the island doesn't have Wi-Fi, so Spotify's not going to work, dude. You're going to have to use something real.
We're going to have to get the professor to build us a CD player.
It does have electricity, just doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Oh, we're going to use electricity, though.
Yeah.
So I figured the first thing we do when we get this island, we would find water, we would build a shelter, and then we would build one of those crank, like phonographs they use on Gillian's Island. You know, you wind it up, you got the big horn made out of coconuts and shit.
Yeah. And the other thing that the audience doesn't know, I mean, you guys don't know, is that Alan's wife has said he can go alone. Dennis's wife has said she can go, or he can go alone too. And then my wife basically looked at me, and I think what she was saying was, I'm going to go ahead and untie the rope and just set the boat sailing, dude. So go. So I think pretty much we're going to be the 3 of us. So we'll have to see at the end of this episode if we could all live together with our 15 albums.
And the funny thing is,
we don't know which ones are which.
We don't know what anybody's picked. We've talked about it, texting each other, going, "I've got my three. I've got." We don't know what anybody's picked. Yep. We have no idea.
All right, who wants to go first with their first three?
I will.
First three.
Oh, well, all right. Are we going to do all three of them, or are we just going to?
Yeah, just do one.
Okay.
Whatever. Well, it doesn't matter.
We each do one. And why? And why?
I've got my list right here. my number three pick was Motley Crue's Shout at the Devil, basically because that was my introduction to Motley Crue. Their first album never really did anything for me for a long time. But that's one of those albums that I can put in and hit play and just let it go all the way through the end and never skip a song. Also, Looks That Kill is the ringtone that I use for my wife.
Good man, good man.
But she has a sense of humor about it. She actually told me that I should pick a specific Meredith Brooks song, but I had to remind her I work for a public library, so I had to be a little bit more selective in my ringtones.
Well, and that's that. I wouldn't think my wife would not ask me to pick that Meredith Brooks song. I can tell you that. She'd be like, no.
What?
What?
What was that?
So who's next?
Bill, go ahead.
All right, so let's see. I actually brought mine, so I have mine right here. So my first one is a surprise. Are you ready? This is just for Dennis. It's Barry Manilow. No, that's not it. Barry Manilow. We have a fan of Low in the house, just so you know. actually, there's a couple of us, but anyway, we'll get whatever. So my one of mine, and I don't actually have the CD. I left it at work. Is Dockin' Under Lock and Key. That is an opening band that I saw. I can't tell you how many times. I love that band. And every song on that album is just great. I can listen to it from front to back and it never gets old. And I go times where I don't listen to it for a long time and then I get it in there and man, I can't let off of it. So that's one of my three because they're a great band. I wish they were still together, but too many egos in that band, a lot of egos in that band. All right, Dennis, you're up.
All right, my number three album of my three single albums is Van Halen, Women and Children First. And the reason I picked, I mean, here again, I struggled on every one of my three singles. I went with something from Van Halen, and I love Van Halen too, and I love Women and Children First. But just, I had to, actually, that was one of the ones I had to listen to last night. And Women and Children First is just a better produced album. Ted Templeton, you know, did a lot of their albums, and they had the sound from the original recording. Van Halen 2 had a really good sound, but Van Halen 3, I will not. That album is not going with me. That one, I tell you what, I'll send that with Lisa. No, Women and Children First was when they finally got it all together. Ted figured out the sound. The drums are just enormous in that. I mean, the guitars sound great. Everybody is sounding good. The songs are fun. I mean, it's just a really good album. So that was my pick.
All right, Alan, you're back. It's back to you, man.
My number two, even though I'm a Brian Johnson era AC/DC fan, my number two pick is Highway to Hell. And again, that's another my three top picks. There was no question. That was just right off the top of my head. That was those. I was introduced to that one in high school, of course, when I was a kid, when Back in Black came out, you know, that was a big thing. And then, Dirty Deeds came out on the tail end of that, even though it was 4 years older. Sure. But, somebody introduced me to the Highway to Hell album in high school and it was the bomb, you know, for lack of a better term.
There you go.
Kicked ass.
There you go. All right. So mine is, let's see, I got it here. It's actually not a rock album, but it's something that I listen to quite a bit. It's called, it's by a band called Sidewalk Prophets. They're a Christian artist. They're a Christian band. And it's got a couple songs on here. One of them's called These Simple Truths and really kind of keeps me focused. Sometimes when I kind of forget that, it's not really all about me, that it really kind of brings me back to thinking about what else is going on in the world. And there's a couple songs in here really made me think about my kids and kind of where I want them to be and how I want them to grow up and be, you know, adults and great people. So that's probably the downer, the oddball of the group. But like I said last week, for me, music is about emotion and what moves you. And that really sometimes just really moves me. I need to put it on. And when I'm not in that place, I really think I need to be. So gets me kind of centered. So there you go. That's mine.
Hey, real quick, Bill, is that a rock album or is it more folky or what is it?
No, it's a rock. I mean, it's probably popish rock stuff.
Something I never heard of. So there again, that's something that I would probably look at this week because I love finding new bands. So I'll have to look at those guys.
Yeah, I saw them live at a show and it was one of those things that I couldn't get out to the thing. They usually, at those kind of concerts, they usually sell the, you know, CDs out in the thing, and I couldn't get there fast. Actually, it was like $5 for the CD. I literally bought three of them. I bought three cool. of them. I kept one and I gave two of them away.
Cool.
And it was really where I was at that point in time and what was going on in my life, it just really grabbed me and was just, oh yeah, it was, it's emotional. I got goosebumps actually right now.
Well,
so.
I mean, that's what you're saying though. Music is emotion. That's the whole point about music. So
exactly.
All right. So my second pick, surprisingly, Kiss is my second pick. This is a struggle. I'm down to, because I was thinking about doing Kiss, using it as my greatest hits. You know, how easy is that? But, you know, I can only take Detroit Rock City so many times. I can take, you know, I can only take Love Gun so many times. I can only take, you know, there's so many songs that would be on the greatest hits that I don't really want to hear no more. But there's two albums that I really like. And I like Dress to Kill and I love Rock and Roll Over. And up until about an hour and a half ago, I was Dressed to Kill. That was going to be my album.
Yep.
And then what did I see on the very... I forgot what was on the very... What's the last song on Dressed to Kill? Rock and Roll All Night. And I'm like, do I really want to hear this song? So there again, I opened up Spotify and I looked at both albums. And I looked at the songs. I go, man, Dressed to Kill's got some great albums. You know, and Rock and Roll All Night is not on Rock and Roll Over. But the songs on Dressed to Kill are just so much better.
Yeah, I like that album.
That album there is when they were, you know, they were hungry. You know, they hadn't got discovered yet. You know, that was one of the three albums that they put out where they were just throwing them out as, you know, just like us. One, you know, please. And, you know, two or three of those songs were actually from Wicked Lester. They weren't even actually Kiss songs. They were stuff that Wicked Lester had recorded earlier on. Gene's bass playing in that album is just phenomenal. I mean, if you want to hear some good bass playing and you know that Gene's playing it, go to that album. If you go to the later albums, it's probably Bruce playing most of the bass.
Or, on the Gene, albums especially. Or Gene Bevoir, however he pronounces his name.
Exactly.
From the Plasmatics.
Exactly. But anyway, but no, Dressed to Kill, one out, and Dressed to Kill is my other album that I'm going to take from Kiss.
I had that out, put it away, pulled it out, put it away. that's an album of mine too that I like that album a lot.
I got some juveniles to say, but I'll keep that for a text.
And the podcast goes downhill from here.
Well, I've already lasted longer than usual, so let's go.
just for information purposes for our fan or not our fans, but people who listen to us out here, is we text all week long. We never text what we're going to talk about on the thing. We just text back and forth.
We text generalities, not specifics.
Generalities, no specifics. But it's very juvenile, and as we go along, it gets more juvenile and more juvenile and more juvenile. It's funny. Trust me. You know, I just got a little bit of a talking to because I was texting at 2:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock on a Saturday night from somebody's better half, which I shouldn't be texting at 2:30 in the morning, but that's just the way it goes.
I will give you guys a hint. I turn my ringer off at night.
Yeah, well, I need that job.
Somebody doesn't. So anyway, I love
All right. So yeah, that was yours. That was your third.
That was my second one.
That was your second. So we're back to
Alan and his third.
Well, actually, it would be my number one. I went 3, 2, 1.
Are you? You're,
oh, okay. I didn't do any order. I just did five.
So all right, my number one all-time favorite will make Dennis's eyes roll because this is, in his opinion, one of the most overrated bands ever.
Here we go.
Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction.
Jesus.
And so is the end of the Ages of Rock podcast. Well, thank you for watching.
I think well, I threw up a little bit.
Wait till we get to my greatest hits. But anyway, what side of the island are you going to be at? Because when you're playing,
that was a really good album, and it had some great stuff on it. It's just the fact that they just played the crap out of that thing.
Well, see, and now every I was song. Fortunate because you know when it first came out, it just kind of floundered and didn't do anything. But when it hit big, is right when I joined the Air Force, so I missed all of the big.
Yeah.
Overplay on the radio because I was in basic training, and then I went to technical school, and then I went straight to Germany. So I missed out on all of the oversaturation of the Appetite for Destruction album.
You couldn't get away from that album.
Yeah.
I mean, when it came out, I mean, it was just, I mean, MTV, I mean, that's when they actually still played videos and still did stuff. They didn't have shows and reality crap and, you know, this and that.
Rap.
Rap. But, I mean, Guns are... There's two albums just like that, and I hope nobody picked Back in Black because. Sorry, I'm just kidding. But I'm telling you, those two albums.
I had that out too and put it back.
Those two albums are great albums, and don't get me wrong. It's just the fact of, man, I have heard that shit so many times and for so long. I'm just burned on it. If I could go to an island and not take two albums, those would be the two that I don't take. Because they're just, I'm burnt on. They're great songs. I mean, I still to this day, our cover band plays Sweet Child. And I cringe every time we start playing it. Third
you
set. You
just start your show with it and get it over with.
Oh, my God. it's just horrible. And it's just, I go into almost automatic mode at that point. It's like, okay. Next, it's only 3 minutes. I get, or 4 minutes, whatever.
There you go. Yeah. That's Gene Simmons and I Was Made for Loving You right there. So anyway,
Alan, I said nothing against that album because, like I said, there's. But the thing is you don't hear they play the crap out of the stuff that I don't want to hear, like My Michelle and stuff like that. Brownstone, you know. But there's other stuff on that album that's really good that didn't get played as much as you know, Welcome to the Jungle and Sweet Child and stuff like that. There's better stuff on that album that could be.
Right, but I think some of the subject material for those songs was not at all radio friendly.
No, not at all.
No.
So that's why they didn't get overplayed.
That's true.
Reason that is probably my number one album is one, because it is the epitome of sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
And number two, that was a very angry album. And in my
very
younger days, I was a very angry person, and I kind of identified with that. And now I'm just a mellow middle-aged man, but I can crank that up and drive down the road and still feel it. You know, does that make sense?
Right. Oh yeah, it definitely was very aggressive. I mean, I do like the album. It just got to the point where it was just too much. I've been to many shows. I mean, we've talked about it. I go see this band called Hairbangers Ball. And when they play GNR, that place just erupts. I mean, people start screaming, and it's just
so as much as
people love it. I mean,
as I hate Sweet Child, when we play that song, we always play it toward the end of the night, and when everybody is like really intoxicated, and you know everybody's like, "Woo!"
Yeah,
and it's like as much you know. And being a cover band, you have to learn to do that.
You have to learn it.
You have to play the song, and you got to act like you're enjoying playing it. You know, and it's hard. It's very hard. Anyway.
All right, so who?
Your turn, Bill.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the hottest band in the world for my number one pick that is not a greatest hits or whatever, and that would be the Revenge album.
Really? Wow.
I love this album. I love every single song on this album from front to back. To me, this is when Kiss got their balls back.
I agree with that.
Somebody took them in the late 80s and didn't give them back until this album came out. They got a little bit better as they progressed, but then they did the, I liked Crazy Nights, I liked Asylum, I liked Animalize, but it wasn't that just raw Kiss stuff. And that was the first episode for me of the raw Kiss stuff. So
see, that's happened twice.
I just like that. I love that album. It's one of my favorite. And actually, I was telling Noah, my son, about it. He said, have you picked your five yet? I said, yeah. And he goes, I bet I can guess one right now. I can guess your number one. And I said, what do you think it is? He goes, I don't know. Show me what it is. And I held up Revenge. He goes, absolutely.
Well, you know something about Revenge, and I never, I've got all the Kiss CDs, and I never, ever in my life paid attention before. But that's the first Kiss album that Gene's song was a starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And that's
and his songs on there are great. I love
those. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Except for Domino.
I love Domino.
I like the song okay, but the video, holy crap!
Have you seen the video? Holy video? Was good. The best Kiss video
ever.
Revenge. I tell you what, Revenge is a great tour.
Badass.
Kiss never looked better during Revenge. When they were on tour. That's when they looked. I mean, they were actually starting to look really cool.
You better clarify that. Kiss out without makeup never. Without looked better.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, Gene didn't look like Maud.
Maud of Thunder.
They actually started looking good at that point. Yeah. You see, the Kiss that's happened twice with Kiss. If you think about it, though, because I think that Creatures was another one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got them back. Then they went to this other crap. But then Revenge, no, yeah, exactly. But I do agree with you. Revenge is a good album. Eric Singer is a hell of a drummer. Brought it into. I think he kind of made everything good.
Now here's something a little funny. When the Revenge album came out, I was stationed in Colorado, and my roommates and I went to see the Revenge tour. And my one roommate was like, man, no offense, Alan, but I really dig Eric Singer as a drummer, and I think he was a better drummer than Eric Carr. And I was like, why would I be offended?
Right. They're both.
I guess because I was such a huge Eric Carr fan, and, when he died, mm-hmm. one, it caught me off guard. I didn't even know he was sick.
Right.
And then, two, it hit me hard. It was like losing a family member.
Well, there again, it was pre-internet days, we didn't hear about this stuff till if it had been internet, we'd have known about it way beyond before.
We'd have known he was sick in the hospital.
Exactly, and now back then it was like you heard it was he's in the hospital. It would come out in a magazine, but it was 4 months ago. Who knows?
Okay, Dennis, you're up.
All right, this was another struggle. And this was down to, and Kelly thinks that I'm wrong, my wife.
How can you be wrong about your five Resident Evil albums?
She doesn't want to go to my
they're island. Yours. They're not hers. She can pick her own.
Foo Fighters is my number one band right now.
Didn't see that coming.
A choice.
Come on. Are you really?
but it was a choice between Wasted Light, which was their album before Sonic Highways, and the original Foo Fighters self-titled, which was basically Dave doing everything. He did drums, bass, mm-hmm. guitar. So, I mean, he just did it by himself. That's where he got out of Nirvana, and he wanted to do something different. What do I do at this point? And he wrote some songs there. I mean, so we went through this, and Kelly's like going, you've listened to Wasted Light. I know. I hear you out in the garage. You're listening to that album all the time. You keep – and I listened to a live version of it that they actually streamed to the theaters. I went and seen back and forth documentary. Afterwards, they did a 3D live concert of the whole album. I mean, what band do you know goes out and does a whole – shows their whole album, plays it live in front of people? I mean, that doesn't happen. know, Kiss has recorded songs and never ever even played them out. You know, they just, but they recorded a whole album, played the whole album in from front to back, you know, for us. But I told Kill, I was like, going, I gotta go with the original Foo Fighters album because it's raw. I mean, it's not perfect. That's the whole point about that album. It's not perfect. It's rough. It's got that little bit of he had a little punk in him.
A little edgy.
Yeah, it's edgy. But the thing is, it's you can hear in that album the beginning of what he built to this point now. The little things he does on guitar, the little things, you know, like I say, but he's a drummer. He played bass. You know, it's just a fantastic album. You know, and it's fun. You know, the thing is, you think of a guy who come from Nirvana, you and the guy that you know, Kurt Cobain just shot himself in the head with a shotgun. You think he would come out with this album that was dark and, you know, they have a song about cows, and it's funny. You know, and the song about the Mentos. Remember the video? That's off that. That's off that album. You know, it's funny. It's everything he's done since Nirvana has been a fun. There's nothing sad about anything. It's all good things, and I love that album. So cool. That's my album. But like I said, it was close with Wasted Light. Wasted Light is another good album.
Is that the one with Rope and Walk and?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Because the only Foo Fighters I have. Greatest Hits, and then they have the Sonic Highway. So that one I have a couple of songs off of, but not the whole thing. So yeah. That was the other thing that really was a bit of a challenge for me, and I know it is for you guys too. I download so much single stuff now that right. I don't download a whole album very often. So it's hard to find something that would be my number one that's something new because I just don't have a lot of whole albums that are brand new stuff that
at least
that's how it works for me. So,
I mean, we were the generation who had albums and CDs and eight tracks. But like you said, nowadays, people just get singles. People get what they want. It's an a la carte. You know, I like this. So to us to say, you know, we want to take this album. So you have to really go back and think about, okay, I love Van Halen, but, you know, I like this song. You know, you got to pick which album that has the best songs and the ones that you like best. You know what I'm saying? It's just like not at all. We could have made this real easy. Okay, what's the great? Well, I'm just going to take my iPod. You know, I'm done.
Yep.
iPod.
You can take your iPod. You just can't take any Wi-Fi. So Spotify.
That's right. Work.
So Alan. All right. So we're back to let's go with greatest hits albums.
There you go.
Well, for the greatest hits album, I chose Journey's Greatest Hits. Because that's another one of those that
good choice.
I could listen to every song on that album without hitting the skip button. It was a real toss up between that one and Fleetwood Mac's Greatest Hits, because that's another one that both of them could stand to have a few more songs on them, but in the interest of a CD can only hold 74 minutes worth of music, you know.
Right.
But those two are really about the only two greatest hits albums that I like from beginning to end. All the rest of them, it's like you put this crappy song on here and you left off, you've lost that love and feeling. What the hell? You know, your turn, Bill. Yeah. So.
Oh, my turn?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I just can't. We're going around the boxes. I got you now.
Bill's upstepping us tonight.
Hey, I texted this earlier to you guys. How can you have Desert Island albums and you have all electronic? So I have most of these I have either.
You showed me CD. No, you said
CDs.
CDs are done on the island. You can't do CD. We're gonna make that crank thing. You can't make a crank CD player.
Okay, I have albums of some of these. It's cool. I'm good. I don't care. Okay. Pick it, man. I don't care.
Okay.
I have cassettes of some of them. Can we just have a tape? Nobody work. All right. So we're doing greatest hits. So my greatest hits is Bryan Adams.
There you go.
Is that what it says? Yeah, it does say Bryan Adams.
All right. So far, so good.
So far, so good.
That's great one of those greatest hits albums that I have that has questionable songs to me.
I love every single song on here. Every song on here is great, and one of my actually probably my favorite Bryan Adams song is on here. And you guys probably would not pick this as my favorite, but it's the song "It's Only Love" with Tina Turner.
That's a great song.
I do like that song. I actually do like that song.
Oh, it's awesome. I would love to see them do that together, but I have seen him do it a couple times, and it's really good. So that's my favorite. That's something that again, you know, Lisa and I kind of have that in common. We both like Bryan Adams, and I just love that CD. It's just great. And I had trouble because I'd also picked "Waking Up the Neighbors" as one of my other CDs, and then put it back and said, "Well, when we were trying to figure out if we were going to let Greatest Hits live or whatever," and so I didn't want to have two Bryan Adams CDs, but that one's got most of them on there. And you know, people give him all kinds of crap about he had all kinds of movie songs and stuff like that, but you know what? He made a lot of money, and they were really, yeah, really good. So I, you know, who cares?
Yeah,
it's about me.
Exactly, and like I said, we talked about that earlier about the, you know, that's why I, you know, end up with going with a Kiss single album, was because if you give me a greatest hits album, if you go with the greatest hits, half those songs on there, I'm burned on. I don't want to hear them. And I'm sure Bryan Adams is the same way. There's songs that you want to, you know, I'm sure greatest hits will have a lot of those movie tunes and shit on there. But, you know, I'm sure he's got, what, multiple greatest hits, don't he, or not?
He has a couple. He has an anthology, and then he has a greatest hits one.
Gotcha. Okay. But no, I like Bryan Adams. He's good. And you got to see him in concert here, like, say, within the last year, haven't you?
Not me.
No, Bill.
What?
I said you got to see him in concert here within the last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I saw them. Yeah.
Yep. I did. Sorry.
All right. So, where are we at? Me?
Yes.
All right. So, my greatest hits album. You guys, hold your chairs, okay? Ready?
Guns N' Roses.
Little River Band's greatest hits.
Oh, that is awesome. Cool.
Now,
did you do some reminiscing?
I'm going to celebrate, and I'm going
to cool.
Talk about my lady. I'm going to have a cool change. I'm telling you, when I was in college, I mean, I liked Little River Band in high school. I mean, whenever they were popular, that's when they were popular. But during college, we had a cassette of that greatest hits, and we listened to that thing all the time. And it's just one of those things that brings a lot of memories back, you know, and just they're great songs. And the thing is, I got to thinking about it, it's like, well, okay, I'm going to take five records. I got to have one mellow, kind of something just to kind of change the mood a little bit. And what better to do it with Little River Band? I mean, it was a no-brainer. So that's why I went with that one. So
I have that one, and I play it quite often.
It's great.
But I skipped the very first song, "On the Border."
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, I like that song.
It's one of those ones where there's actually, I was just actually looking at it. There's like two songs on there that I'm not real keen on, but it's not enough for me to hit that button. You know, I always it's 3 minutes. I'll listen. Yeah.
Have you seen them live?
No, but Rod, a friend of mine, you know, Rod, you met Rod. They were in Florida here. It's been, I don't know, a few years ago. They were down there in either Panama City or Destin, and they were playing at a bar, like on the beach. So they sit out on the beach and listen to these guys play, and I'm like going, how lucky is that? I mean, that is so good. And they said it was real good. So they said they sounded good. So they were, I don't know, you know, at this point, I don't know how many of the original members are in it. It's probably one of those fluctuating bands.
The main guy is not in it, and he is not very pleased with them still carrying on with the name.
Well, I saw them here. We have a concert here every year, and they played here a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
I think the main guy was with them then. It's probably been 6 or 7 years ago, so it's been a little while ago.
Yeah.
It was really good. I mean, I like their music. I have.
Well,
I have
see, that would have been so. When Rod seen them down in Florida. That would have been hell. It may have been 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I don't know. So it was original because he said the singer was the original guy. You know, who knows who's filling in? But anyway, that's my. I thought I'd get more crap for that. So.
No, that's cool. That's
Kelly's cool. Like going. Are you serious? Are you serious?
No, I think that's cool.
Well, wait till we play the What's on Your iPod game. That will be. That's when you're going to catch crap.
Yeah, that's probably when you're going to catch crap.
Guilty pleasure show. Oh my god.
Are we ready for the live?
All right, let's do the live.
All right, my pick for the live album was Judas Priest Live. And, you know, Defenders of the Faith is my favorite Priest album. And they went, I don't remember which order it is, but you've got Defenders of the Faith, British Steel, Turbo. You know, you've got three or four albums right there in a row that were, for me, the epitome of Judas Priest. And that live album captures every bit of that.
Cool. That's it?
Pretty much.
All right. So I'm going to stick with my guys.
Let me guess. Right. Wait. I'm going to put, am I right?
Alive 3.
Oh, I missed it by one. I thought you were going to say two.
I would have picked one.
And I picked Alive 3 because I just listened to this the other day again. I hadn't listened to it for a while. It sounds great. I mean,
I have that disc. I need to pull it out.
And I know that they're live, but it just sounds so good. The band, they sound tight and they sound, you know, it's crisp and they sound really good together. And this was one of my favorite shows, Kiss shows. I thought the stage set was
phenomenal.
That was with the it looks like
Revenge.
Yeah, that was Revenge Tour. Okay. And it looked like
Revenge was a great tour.
And this album covers a little bit of everything, which is something I think they're missing today. They've gotten so far to where they only play the old stuff that, you know, there's just so many good things on here. I just love this album. And
Kiss can't do the newer stuff because Ace and Paul can't play it.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm sorry. Well, they're not there no more. Okay.
Yeah. That's it for me. That's my favorite one. I almost picked Alive 4.
Alive 4? I didn't even know there is an Alive 4.
Yeah, Alive 4 is with the symphony. But just because it was different.
It's different. I don't care for that. But I got it. I got it on DVD, actually, too.
The best thing about the symphony for me is Great Expectations.
Yeah, I just thought it was different. It's nice for him to do something different. But this, for me, is probably the best one. The only thing that is missing off here that is my favorite Kiss song that's not... No, is Do You Love Me? When they play like live, that is my favorite song of all time. That's not on here. But if that was on here, too, that would be the only thing I'd probably ever listen to, because that's... got it all. But
Amy and I, actually the girl that wrote that did the song with me for our intro song, that's one of the songs that we recorded, and I can't find a tape anywhere. We recorded Do You Love Me and Got to Choose. That was the two songs that we recorded that day, and I can't find a tape for nothing. I've looked and looked and looked, so I don't know. I have to re-record it at some point. But
that one on bass.
There you go. And then, Bill, can you play we'll put a cowbell.
That's probably the only Kiss song I know every lyric to. The rest of them, I know most of the lyrics, and I don't really care. But
there you go.
I'm not a person that just remembers every lyric to every song. So, but that song I know about every lyric to, for sure. All right, Dennis.
All right, man. My live album went from one spectrum to the other. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I love Rush. Rush has some great live albums. And then, of course, my beautiful, smart wife brought a Queen. Oh, my gosh. You know, Live Killers is a great album. And I could do that. And actually, my first thought was Judas Priest Unleashed in the East, which I borrowed that album from Bill back in college. But my live album that I'm going to go with to take to my island is Cheap Trick Budokan, but the extended version, the one that has the whole concert on it. You know, Cheap Trick, originally that first Budokan album was a single album.
Right.
They didn't do the whole over time they've released a double on that with the whole concert. That would be the one, because there isn't nothing that makes me more happy and puts a smile on my face to hear Cheap Trick. I mean, their songs are great. There's nothing...
Yeah,
their songs are. I mean, it just makes you happy. You want to dance. You want to smile. You know, if I'm on a deserted island, I need some happy. So you know,
Cheap Trick was a greatest hits album I had pulled out.
It's a great one. I mean, that is a great. And the thing is the man, the background, those Japanese people, there's like, oh. But yeah, that's an album that I would take. I mean, that's an album that I would definitely do because it just makes me happy. So there you go.
All right, so
where are we at on?
I think we're doing pretty good actually. So yeah, it looks like.
I would like to talk about some of the honorable mentions that almost made the list.
Sure. Yeah, I had some of those too. Go ahead.
Well, for me, Skid Row's first album, that was like the Guns N' Roses album. It was raw. It was angry. It had everything that I felt at the time. Stone Temple Pilots' Core, the first two Alice in Chains albums, Twisted Sister, Stay Hungry, Judas Priest, Defenders of the Faith, Quiet Riot, Metal Health, Van Halen, 1984. That's just a few that I can think of off the top of my head. I was putting down albums when we originally decided to do this. It was just going to be five albums, no live albums, no greatest hits.
Yeah.
And then everybody kind of got stuck at three. So I was making a list of albums that are like, well, I'll pick these out and I'll listen to them and then I'll go from there. So.
Yeah, that was my struggle is there are so many things that I really like and go back to often, it seems. So a couple of mine that didn't make it that I pulled out and messed with today or, you know, in the last couple of days, John Cougar Mellencamp, American Fool. John Cougar at the time wasn't a Mellencamp because he was still John Cougar, that's an album that front to back had some great stuff on it. Sure. Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet.
Yeah.
Got great stuff on it, front to back. It's an overplayed album. You know, it's like Guns N' Roses and those others, but I still like the album. I thought it was pretty good. I pulled out probably two or three different Great White albums because that's a band that I really, really like. And then I pulled out some country stuff that I like too that didn't make the cut. Actually, one that I had out for a while didn't make it. So I had a variety of things. The problem is if we're only going to be able to take iPods, that's good because I can load a bunch of crap on there.
Well, see, and I did the same thing. And what I did was I went back through the albums that I had as a kid, you know, and the albums that I actually virtually had, not just like, oh, I could take so-and-so album. So, you know, some of those included, like, there were some, you know, I love Blondie. I had the Eat to the Beat album. That was a great album.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody was into Blondie at that time. You know, I was a big Cars fan. I know we talked about that last week. I had Panorama. Was a great album. I said still was a big, and then Cheap Trick was another one of those ones where there were so many. That's why I picked them as my end up being the live album because it was kind of a. Live was a cheat for a greatest hits. You know, that's what I was trying to get to when we were trying to make the rules earlier. You know, one greatest hits, one greatest, you know, one live album. I'll tell you another one that almost made it was Hotel California by Eagles. That is a phenomenal album. A lot of great songs on it. Rumors, Fleetwood Mac, another great album. You know, it's just not, you know, we get into this, you know, like, or the rock of ages. You know, rocks can be anything that you really want. I mean, the rock goes from one spectrum to the other. Not just necessarily hard rock or metal, this. There's rock and roll is everything. And that's kind of the way my genre is as far as what I've got, say, on my iPod. It goes from, you know, ABBA to Zappa. I mean, it's just, and everything in between. I mean, there's just everything there.
So if you stop at Zappa, does that mean you don't like ZZ Top?
Nope.
ZZ Top pre when ZZ Top started going da 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 da. You know, oh man, Tres Hombres is a great album. But once they started doing this, once they hooked up with MTV, you know, I'm done with them. I don't like Legs. I don't like, you know, all that. You know, spinning my furry guitar. Don't give me that. You know, I'm done.
I've never been.
Guess which era I picked up on ZZ Top.
See, if you go back and you listen to get the album Tres Hombres, Listen to that.
Oh,
listen,
yeah. I've heard it.
I mean, it's that's some good kind of bluesy rock, kind of Texas fried blues, if you want to call it. Oh, that's great stuff. But once they started using, once they got into MTV, they started, it's all almost electronic. I'm done. And I was done at that point. So
yeah, not a band that I really ever got into.
Yeah, they got beards. You know? Hey, it is no shave November. We're gonna
Shave November. I'm still shaving though. I did that last year and got some heat for it. We can tell he's shaving too.
I did the goatee, but I'm due for another shave. I shaved everything off, and my wife's like going, "I like your goatee, so I'm growing it back."
There you go.
This is great. I'll be white like you. Be like going, "Am I too white?" It's
yeah. Okay. That's. Now I'm just being mean.
You asked me that question 15 times before we got on here. Don't give me the shit.
You guys are hurtful.
Oh, not as hurtful as what I've got on this thing all week? No, I don't think so.
All right. So does it, right?
Yeah, and I hope everybody had a good time. And I would say, and please listen to these things. Take them with a grain of salt. It's everything's an opinion. You know, everybody's got an opinion. Leave us your, you know, let us know in your comment, in the comment section. Let us know what your five albums were, you know, or anything else that we've done before. You know, mention the topic and let us know what you think.
And if you're listening on iTunes, leave us a review.
Exactly.
That's how we get to move up in iTunes. They like it when you leave reviews. You leave positive reviews, they like that. So
I know we're only three shows in, but that's the way it is. We slowly, you know, when we get to the 100, we'll look back at these and go, what the hell's going on back there?
What a bunch of nerds down there doing some.
Yeah, boy, Bill really look white.
It's white.
On November 9th, 2015. What's up?
There you go. There you go. All right, so I guess we're out of here.
All right, see y'all next week.
All right, see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.